Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
To take the lead in the semifinal.
Miss Jeter.
Yeah.
And Mr. Jeter.
Well, I think, full disclosure, I think Mitch, by the way, it's courtesy of ESPN. That's Pat McAfee on the call there. But I would say this about Mitch Jeter. I think he's kicking at the next level. I think he's that good. He's one of the best kickers in the country. See what happens, because a lot of times kickers don't get drafted. We do see it on occasion, and everybody laughs at it. But even Justin Tucker was an undrafted free agent. So,
yeah.
All right, let's get into last night and what happened. Again, talking about the Penn State game, 17 points scored in the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. That's why I've said it should be, like, in my mind, it's a 50-50 game. Anything could have happened. You had a big play by Notre Dame when they were when it looked like they were going to be backed up and not have a shot, and then all of a sudden Penn State gets the ball back at the end of the game with a chance to go down and win or go to overtime, whatever. They throw a pick. You hear the Jeter kick, so the rest is history. So now Notre Dame is awaiting Ohio State, Texas, who play tonight, and we'll get to that game in just 1 second. As I was talking about last night, the two plays I hit, the Phoenix Suns I loved. I loved Kennesaw State to go over the total. Those were two winners. The three losers in my top plays were Penn State. I also had the NHL over, which the Rangers game, 1-0 at the end of the first, 2-2 at the end of the second. No goal scored in the third. It went to overtime, 3-2. Yeah. So it went under the posted total. And then, of course, the one that hurt me, at least, like, I can live with the Penn State game. It's a 1.5-point spread. I get that. Rutgers was in such a great spot at home, and they're actually a decent team in my mind. I think they're going to get better and better as it goes along, facing Purdue, where Purdue's going to be in and out of the top 25, in my opinion, for most of the year. I think they're probably a top 20 team, but you get what I'm saying. They lose, they maybe fall out, they get back in the next week. I think they're a good team, not a great team. But Rutgers just played like trash last night.
Played like trash all year.
It's so bad.
What, 8-7 now?
Yeah, and there's so much talent there, too. I don't get it, man. And they got a couple of the biggest recruits in the country to come there.
This is when you get fired.
Yeah. So, again, 2-3, not what I'm looking for in my top plays, obviously, but we go to bounce back today. So, I'll start off with the NHL. I'm going to take Vancouver and Carolina to go over the 6. Carolina's been, and Vancouver for me, have been traditionally been under teams that I like to bet, but all the money's coming in on the under here. I'm going to fade it and go with the over. It's not a top play for me. Getting to college hoops. Terps are in action tonight, facing a UCLA team that Mick Cronin, beating up his team, said he was the most active guy at practice. It's an embarrassment of how they played. Are they going to come out and play well and showcase themselves against Maryland? No, because Maryland's reeling on 2 losses on the West Coast. They're coming back. They're going to beat UCLA's ass tonight, I think. They're definitely covering the 5. I like Maryland -5. It will be a top play for me. I like Central Michigan and Toledo to go over the 151.5. And I'm going to take the Manhattan Hilltoppers, Rob, -1 tonight. Sorry, it's the Jaspers. I'll take Manhattan -1.
There's no hills in Manhattan.
There's a couple. You've never been to New York. You don't know. Again, I do like Manhattan. The Terps are going to be a top play for me. I'll get to the NBA. I have 2 top plays here. One's always fun. Like, here we are with Chicago and another effing total again. Chicago and the Wizards. What do you think the total is on the game? Any guesses? 220 and higher is what you want to think of, but
yeah.
241.5. Wow. Take the over.
Really?
Here's the problem. Chicago plays at the fastest pace of any team in the league. In the beginning, we were talking about it going, okay, is this an anomaly? Is it Thursday? Because Chicago doesn't score on Thursdays, according to Kai. No, it's Friday. We're good. But this Bulls team, they play at such a fast pace. They're terrible from the outside, though. They've had some of the worst three-point shooting games that we've seen in the history of the league this year.
Really?
They own...
Oh, that's right. They Devin have.
Charlotte
yes,
had the two 75 right. missed three-pointers.
I forgot about that, yes.
Two separate games where they missed 75 threes. The problem with Chicago is, ultimately, the pace is there. The shot attempts are there. But we always have these one... It's one spot in a quarter. Maybe it's the whole quarter where it's like, man, how did they only score 18 points in the quarter, but they put up 57 shots? You know, like...
Yeah.
How is that even possible? You'll see games like that, and maybe 57 is a little bit ridiculous, but you get my point.
Yeah.
The shots aren't falling, so be it. If it turns into a blowout, you don't get the fouling at the end of the game. Bulls are a big favorite tonight. I do think they cover against the Wiz, but I do like the 241 and a half. Well, everybody's been beating the Wiz lately. That'll be a top play for me. I like the Celtics a lot, minus 10 and a half, as they're home against the Kings. Big game tonight. I wanted to make it a top play. I just like the other games better. Knicks plus 3.5 against the Thunder. Thunder were on a 15-game win streak. We had them against the Cavs. They lost. It was actually a one-point game until, I think, 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes left to go in the game. And then hit a shot, miss a shot, foul. And then here we are with the 7-8 point win.
They're at the Garden, too.
Yeah, so I think it's a really nice spot for the Knicks to come in here and pull off an upset because... The thought process is, oh my God, the Thunder's so good, they can't lose two in a row. Well, you're getting 3.5, so maybe they don't. But this Knicks team's really, really good. I think Karl-Anthony Towns has a big game tonight. My other favorite play in the NBA is the Pacers minus 7.5 against the Warriors. Warriors are tricky because they go on the road and they end up sitting a lot of people. I would bet this number early because I think there's a chance it ends up going up. But I still like the Pacers minus the 7.5 against this Golden State Warriors team as they come to Indiana. I'll recap the top five in just a second. And in college football, I do like Texas plus the 6, but I can't get away from the money that's coming in on the over in this game. And I think both teams have really good defenses. The conversation Rob and I have of what Cam Scatabo did to Arizona from Arizona State did to this Texas team. And then he brought up Clemson. They put up some points.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fool's gold? Has Texas defense, are there some issues with them? We'll have to see, but I also think Ohio State's defense is pretty good, and they can hold down that Texas offense. So I would be looking at, you know, Wisner in the game, the running back for Texas. Marcus Golden's another one. There's a lot of weapons on that Texas offense, but make no mistake about it, Ohio State has better weapons. Jeremiah Smith, Ibuka, all those guys are really good. I'm taking the under tonight at 53. So to recap, I like the Ohio State under. I'm taking the Terps in college hoops. I'm taking the Pacers minus the 7.5, Washington and Chicago over the 241.5, and my last play is going to be Central Michigan Toledo over the 151.5. So there you go.
There you go. 410-583-1057 is the number. Rick Ritter joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, Melissa Kim joins us.
Okay.
Right here on the Fan. 9:16 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now, our girl on the scene, she is Melissa Kim. Good morning to you, Melissa.
Okay.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Baltimore Ravens coming into this wild card round of the playoff against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Familiarity between these two teams, the third time they've met up this year alone. Do you see maybe that being an advantage for either team?
I don't know what to call it advantage, familiarity-wise. I mean, I think that if there's anything that is helpful, I think it's a game that they played just 3 weeks ago, right, against the Steelers.
Right.
Because I think back to, like, the first time they faced each other, that feels like so long ago. I think those teams are two completely different teams from earlier in the season. So I guess, like, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right, because it's like, oh, we know each other so well. But at the same time, it's like, oh, is that a good thing or bad? It's like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, should you go back to, like, an ex, right? Like, you know, the familiarity is there. It's there, but, like, is it a good thing or a bad thing? We don't really know. So the jury's still out on that one for me. But what I do think is really working for this team, in favor of this team, is that they're playing so well right now. You know what I mean? I think all three phases of the ball really have come together so well in these last 3 to 4 weeks. And I think that they're dominating teams. I think that goes without saying.
And the Steelers going the other way. And look at the last four games. The Bengal game was close, but they still lost by 2 points. Lost by 19 to the Chiefs, 17 to the Ravens, 14 to the Eagles. Do you think this game will be close given their history, or is it going to be, you know, a little more one-sided because they're kind of limping into the playoffs?
You know, I thought the one a couple weeks ago was going to be close, and obviously I was incorrect. But, like, I'm glad that I was. It's tough to say in that sense. I do think that the Steelers' offense is plainly just not good. You know what I mean? I think that it's tough for Russell Wilson, who hasn't really had a lot of success in his career in the last couple of years, to play this kind of playoff-style football, especially in an environment coming into M&T Bank Stadium. But at the same time, you know, I've seen a lot of posts on social media and stuff like that this weekend. Mike Tomlin has had John Harbaugh's number in the playoffs in the last four times they've met, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that there are certain advantages that the Ravens do have this time that they perhaps didn't have before. And one of them is Derrick Henry. So I think that, yes, the Steelers, I could see this being a close game, but also, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens ran away with it the way they did a couple weeks ago.
You know, as you look at, I mean, we talk about rivalries and everything else going on between these two teams. The Ravens, to me, set up to avoid all the speculation if they make the run to the Super Bowl. There's no excuses because if you win, you're more than likely playing Buffalo. If you win that, you're more than likely playing the Chiefs, and then you're in the Super Bowl. How good do you feel about this team making that run?
I do feel pretty good, honestly, especially with how confident they are. I've been in the locker room all week, and it's been pretty loose, you know. And I was there last year when they made the run to the AFC Championship game, and it was pretty loose too. So I have some pretty good feelings on how the team is feeling right now. And I think, again, like I've been saying, I think all three phases of the team are playing so well right now in terms of a gradual success and everything. But yeah, in terms of the road ahead, right, we're assuming that the higher seeds will win. Kansas City, I don't think it's the same Kansas City that we've seen in the last 2 to 3 seasons. I think that they are not as dominantly strong as they were. I think if you look at some of their games this season, especially some of the close ones, they haven't, you know, they haven't been like dominating teams the way that they have been. Buffalo, I think, for me personally, is a bigger concern than the Chiefs are, just because playing in that environment, they would have to go to Buffalo, obviously. And again, can you imagine the hype that's going to be? I mean, I've heard so much hype from people, like Buffalo fans and like whatever and stuff like that, being like, oh, the MVP race and all this stuff. The hype around that game is going to be insane, obviously. And that's a tough place to play in, you know what I mean? Like playing at Highmark. So, and especially the way that that team has been playing late in the season too, my bigger concern will be Buffalo than Kansas City. But I do think that this Ravens team, I mean, I think is very capable of making it to that point.
All right, Melissa, give us a score.
Look, given recent success in the last two or three weeks, the last time they played each other, I would give it a 24-17 win.
24-17.
Right. It's gonna be psychotic. I mean, Terrell Suggs is a legend in the game. It's gonna be lit.
Okay.
Lit? It's a night game. I'm kind of disappointed that they can't wear the all blacks though. Can you imagine, like, if you could wear alternate jerseys at this game? Like, I know it's just a jersey, like whatever, but still, it'd be insane. Like so. Yeah, you guys are letting me off easy today. Wow, I'm surprised. And you guys are off. Everyone's back. We're all back together too. Okay.
Everyone's letting you off easy. Or you want tougher questions? Is that what you want?
No, nobody gave me crap today. I'm surprised. Well, okay.
Did we ever talk to her about the? We missed the one. Last week or the week before?
Wait, I'm leaving.
No, do you remember, Rob? We missed the one. Like it was our
yeah,
fault.
She was because she was on vacation or something, going back to West.
She said
that's why I'm not saying much to her.
Yeah, she said we weren't, important enough to her to come on. So
that's why I'm not saying much to her.
False. First of all, I was on a plane. I could have done it from the plane. I suppose I probably would have gotten kicked off the plane. Okay.
No, but I'm saying the next time we were to have you on, wasn't it our fault? Didn't the phones mess up? You were going to get up in California at the crack of dawn, 6 o'clock or something, and come on the show?
No. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's right. Yes. Because, like, I woke up. I woke up at, like, 5:30 in the morning, like, West Coast time, to, like, be on with you guys. And then Joe texted me. He was like, oh, there's something on with the phones.
Melissa,
like, oh, my gosh, really?
I got to be honest
like,
with
wow.
you. Our phones were fine. We just wanted to, you know, give it right back to you since you didn't show up for us when you were on a plane.
You're a liar. Lies. I smell the lies.
Smell the lies? Hey, Melissa, thanks a lot.
Indeed.
Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It.
All right, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Kyan Rice is down. What's up, guy?
Put that back down there like that.
Oh. Why is he always talking to somebody else when we pick up volume?
Whoa! Oh! Come on, man. Y'all was talking to okay, Miss Okay. What's happening, fellas? Hey, listen. Jeremy?
Yeah.
I would say this. Listen, Rob. The Bulls will not go over Wizards will not go over 235.
Well, it's 240. I said 241. It's now up to 243.5.
Please take the under on this, please. And I'm only saying this because we rank last in
hey, could you go with your Ravens thing, please? Guy.
Oh, listen, the Ravens, this is my bold prediction with the Ravens. We definitely going to win, but we need Wiggins to play Higgins. I mean, to play Pickens. Put Wiggins on Pickens, and I think we'll be good. We'll be fine. I'm going Ravens 27-17 I think we win. Wiggins on Pickens.
What score again?
27-17.
I like that. Thanks a lot, Kyle. Appreciate that.
Wiggins on Pickens.
Let's go Trippy in Baltimore. What's up, Trippy?
Hello. Hey, hello. And my Melissa voice. Okay. Hey, man, look. Hey, I agree with my man Kyle from Rice's Town, man. Look. Hey, Zach, listen to Trippy, man. We got to have Nate Wiggins sticking George Pickens, man. I do not want to see 21 out there. Because Lord knows,
hold up,
it's going to be 21 last game at the bank. And I don't want to see that man be out there getting burnt, man, burnt toaster. But anyway, my score prediction, Ravens 34, Steelers 9.
Hey. Hey.
Hey, I'll talk to y'all Monday when we celebrate, okay?
Hello.
All right.
Yeah.
Joe LaCroix's encore at 9:45, but on the other side, Rick Renner, WJZ sports anchor, joins us up next on The Fan. 9:31 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Joining us right now, WJZ TV anchor, he is Rick Renner. Good morning to you, Rick.
Good morning, guys. Good to have the three of you back together.
It's good to be back. Now, Rick, they didn't have a chance to ask you last week, and of course I wasn't here. For those who don't know, Rick had a chance to do some national news for CBS. How was that experience?
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Thank you. It was a great experience. A couple weeks ago, they asked me to come up there to New York and fill in on the national stream. Obviously, when you get an opportunity like that, you got to jump on it. And it's a whole different world up there. New York is New York, but just very blessed for the opportunity. It was a great couple of newscasts and to get that experience and just have that chance to do it. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, Ed forgot to do it last week, so you forgot.
You know, as soon as I got into the city, I started to see signs of Ed all over, and I was like, that's right, Ed's stomping grounds. Here we go.
Go to Smith & Walensky's. My name's at the door in a brass plaque. I kid you not, they'll take care of you there. Anyway, the Steelers are kind of limping into the playoffs here. I'm happy about that because there's no way to enter them. But does it matter against a team you're so familiar with?
I mean, look, the third time that they're meeting each other, I don't think it matters. No, everybody's limping in at this point. Everybody's banged up. The Ravens are obviously banged up, too. It's you take it to another level, and it's a different mindset, and that stuff kind of goes out the window. This is going to be a tough game. Anybody who thinks that they're going to go in there and the Ravens are just going to blow the doors off, I know the way the last game ended, but it's not going to be like that. This is going to be a lot closer than people think. I still love the Ravens in this one, but it is going to be a physical one. It's going to be a hard out. It's not going to be a walk in the park. And these two teams are going to beat the hell out of each other. There's no doubt about it. Don't get it twisted.
So, again, we talked to you about everything, including the Ravens, because if the Ravens win, they're more than likely headed to Buffalo. Is that how you see it? And what would you think of a matchup like that? Because you look at the first round of the playoffs, and there's some – I think most of the games feel, to a lot of people, somewhat one-sided, but your Eagles and the Packers, when that one's an interesting one and maybe the best game of the weekend. But I do think if we get Ravens-Bills next week, that should be a marquee matchup.
Yeah, look, they got to take care of business, which I feel like they're going to do. I feel like it's one week at a time, and it's been like that since the bye. I kept saying to you guys that they got their swag back after that Eagles loss, and Lamar has kind of put the team on his back. Let's assume it goes the way that it's supposed to, and they go up there to Buffalo. To me, this team, based upon all the experience that they've had over the past couple of years and the tough games that they've lost in the postseason, which we're all too familiar with, they're more built now. Zay, we'll see where he's at next week, assuming that they get there. But they're more built now to make a run, in my mind, than they were last season because of the way last season ended. And you've been there in the big moments. You know, Lamar talked about getting antsy in the playoffs and how he's not going to be like that this year. All of that helps you build for this time right now. And it is one play at a time. This guy is playing outside of his mind in terms of going to the line of scrimmage, adjusting, being able to read defenses. Derrick Henry obviously helps and plays a big part in making that a lot easier for him. They're just a different squad this year. And I like that they got to go on the road because they have to earn it. There is nothing that if they get there, nobody can say anything about, oh, this happened or this happened. Everything stacked against them. And I like that they're kind of the underdog this year after being the favorite back in 2020 when they finished 14-2 or whatever it was. Last year, you get home field advantage. Everyone thinks it's a walk in the park to the Super Bowl. I like that they're kind of under the radar, and they can absolutely go into Buffalo next week and get up on a team like Buffalo, make them throw and play from behind, and they can come out of there with a win.
Rick Ritter joins us, WJZ-TV. No Zay Flowers tomorrow. There's someone who, quote-unquote, has to step up, or will the Ravens just have a completely different game plan without Zay?
Zay is a huge loss. Anybody who says it's not, I mean, come on. You can't just take a receiver, a Pro Bowl wide receiver with that speed, who's that shifty, who is a nightmare for defenses like that, and assume that it's not going to be a big deal. Doesn't mean they don't have guys who can step up, but you don't have another guy who can do what Zay does and take the top off the defense the way that he does. So for me, it's you go in and you still run the ball. That's what got you here. You know, given Derrick Henry 20, 25 carries a game, that's why you got him for the postseason. So you go in there, you run through the run, open up the play action. Guys like Bateman can still stretch it and go deep. And then also, too, you're going to see guys like Likely get involved. And maybe somebody like Tez Walker, who we had a chance to speak to this week, maybe this is his opportunity to go out there. He's a vertical threat. He can go up and play above the rim and make big-time contested catches. Maybe he gets the chance to go and do that this week. Maybe it's Bateman who has the big game. But regardless, it all starts with Derrick Henry. And if Lamar sees those lanes, as he has been seeing in the past 4 to 5 weeks, don't even go through your progressions, dude. Hit the ground and go. Make him chase you.
Eric, what do you think about the other game? Houston won a division, but the Chargers look pretty damn good this year and they're not a division winner. How do you see that one shaking out?
Yeah, I think Houston's just kind of fell off the tracks the past couple of weeks. They're banged up. You talk about, you know, losing a lot. They've absolutely lost a lot this season between Diggs and then Tank Dell as well. You're down two of your top three receiving options, and that's certainly played a role in the way that C.J. Stroud has performed over the past couple of weeks. I like the Chargers. I'm a big hot hand guy. The way that you're playing going into the postseason, I don't think that you can just turn it on at the snap of the finger. I think gelling at the right time is everything in football, and Chargers right now, they're gelling. You know, Jim Harbaugh, what he's done with that team in terms of a one-year turnaround. Justin Herbert, he's playing out of his mind. And Ladd McConkey, who is not going to get a lot of talk about rookie of the year, that dude is a stud. And he gets open on all levels of the secondary. And the Chargers, they're playing good football right now. I love Los Angeles in that game.
Yeah, well, speaking of L.A., I want to go to the other team because they're going to be playing in Arizona because of the wildfires. I love the Rams in this spot. And by the way, I'm one of the few people that are on the Texans as well. I love the Texans this weekend and the Rams. And the Rams game getting moved, it gives me a little bit of pause to go, I hate that because I want the home crowd there and I want that feel for them. Because we've seen the history of this. Minnesota, they deserve to get a home playoff game because of how good they were this year. But now you got to pick it up and go on the road after just getting your asses handed to you by the Lions. And Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua, I'm not sure that's what you want to see when you have a funnel defense the way that Minnesota does.
No, I love the Rams in this game, too. I love them more if they were playing at home. After they moved the game last night, I was like, damn, I really wanted to see them at home with everything that the city is going through right now, with the wildfires and the city reeling and the extra motivation. That would have played out like something out of a movie. I still like Los Angeles. This is a team, McVay, Stafford. These guys have been there before. They've won the big games. They know what it takes. And Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams, who runs as good as anybody. This is a tough out for Minnesota. I'm telling you right now, Minnesota, this is the last team that they wanted to see was the Rams. I don't think anybody wanted to see the Rams in the NFC. And Darnold kind of got a little bit exposed last week. Detroit and Aaron Glenn showed you get pressure on him constantly and you're in his face constantly. Yep. And he's not going to step up and make those big-time throws. This is, I mean, you talk about pressure for Sam Darnold, so put yourself in his position. Last week, biggest game of his career. This week, even bigger with the free agent contract on the line in the offseason. He goes out and has another game like he did last week. You can kiss that big contract goodbye because he's not getting it. So I like the Rams in this game. I think the blueprint is there to beat Minnesota. And with everything that Los Angeles is going through right now with the fires, it just – It's kind of like a poetic scene. It paints a Rams win for me.
All right, give us a Ravens score.
I'm going 24-17. I think they're fine. They pull it out. And then Buffalo, man, that's going to be a tough one up there next week, but we'll cross that bridge a week from today.
There he is. Rick, where are you going to be this weekend and next week?
We got the Purple Preview, or excuse me, Purple Pregame Show. My apologies. Tomorrow, before the game on WJZ, we're doing it a little bit earlier at 11:30. And then tonight, I'll have your news and your updates at 5, 7, and 11 o'clock. Just a big shout-out to all the first responders in Los Angeles and California and everything that they're going through over there. And then the other thing I'm going to say before I go, too, why are there still so many tickets available to this game tomorrow? Why am I seeing people write online, oh, it's cold, I don't know if I want to go out. Are we serious with this? Are we serious?
Mm.
Like, what? Come on.
It's hard to believe it. Like, I hear stories about, like, when I used to work with Scott, he'd talk about being at the Ice Bowl, and apparently everybody was there, but the people that froze, they just threw him in the lake.
He was at the Green Bay-Dallas game?
He was at all the, talks about growing up with it, the Ice Bowl. And
well, he's from there.
It's just crazy, like, because, I don't know, like, when people start talking about the weather, I almost understand it if you had, like, a torrential downpour and you don't want to stand in the rain or whatever, but... it's cold. Just get warm.
It's playoff football.
Yeah.
I can't imagine this ever happening in New York or Philadelphia. And it's not everybody. It's a small majority of people. But your team has as good a chance of getting to the Super Bowl as anybody. Like, this is the year. Get your tickets and show up. Why is this even a conversation?
Hey Rick and Jeremy, you're right. Get warm. And I plan to. Inside. Climate control. I don't love nothing that much. Call me anything you want to call me. I don't love anything that much.
You love anything the way that Marlon Brando loves?
No.
Oh.
No.
All right, sorry.
Hey, Rick, have yourself a great weekend, my friend.
Guys, enjoy the game. Thank you, as always. It's fun, man. Enjoy.
All right, buddy. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
They had a vault of like high-end liquor, and I had like a $200 tab every time I walked in, which it's impossible to spend $200 in alcohol at that place. You know, there's a lot of fun things to do. So they take me in there, and the guy's like, here, let me give you this high-end tequila, and he pours it in the shot glass.
Yeah.
What do you think I did? I
shot different. It. You shoot tequila.
No, not when a bottle is like $700.
Yeah.
You're supposed to sip it. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really expensive, it was like $75 a shot.
Oof.
And I just threw it back. I was like, that was pretty good. You want to give me another one? He's like, no, not if you're going to do that. I offended the man.
He cuts his pearls?
Yeah. I was like, oh, you're supposed to enjoy that. I did. I'd like to enjoy another one now.
I don't put bourbon in the shot glass.
It's okay.
Yeah, he got me. It was a rocks class, and I just didn't do it.
Send it back.
Mm. I paid for it.
It still doesn't matter to me.
It does matter.
It's a fine gesture.
It's not like some stranger. It's not like we just met. That's my dude. Trust me, he wasn't offended.
Rob's, didn't you send something back when you were in New York with Ed?
Did he send something
didn't
back?
Didn't someone give you a drink, or that was just when you just weren't paying attention?
That's when he...
I thought someone, if he wasn't paying attention, someone gave him a drink, and he was like, nah.
He whiffed on a threesome.
Rob's...
Oh, well.
I didn't whiff.
He took the pitch.
I didn't whiff. They had an intentional walk, and I refused to go to first base.
I'm not. Are you out with that Albert Bell?
I Albert Belled them.
I thought you said it was hard to finish until you saw the husband crying in the corner. Is that
you think that chair's for?
By the way, Rob talking about sending his gift back, it gives me those feels of Will Ferrell in Old School. Remember at his wedding when he got the bread maker? And he goes to like the 5-year-old's birthday party and he re-gifts him the bread maker. I don't want this. This is for you.
And that's the encore for today.
Encore brought to you by Lion's Den. Explore your curiosity and get over there. Seriously. Lots of good stuff there. Loaded up for Christmas. Took it down to Florida. Yeah.
You know, load it up again.
Yeah, I did.
Do you put yours in the dishwasher when you clean them?
My what?
Your toys.
No, I just clean them with the... They have cleaner for that.
Okay, I didn't know that. I know people that put them in their dishwasher.
I've heard.
I've heard of people...
I have a problem with that.
I've heard of people sous vide-ing their food in the dishwasher, which is kind of crazy.
Right.
Sous vide, you
know.
Okay, yeah. The people do it in a dishwasher. If you have it vacuum sealed, you put it in there.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of stupid things you see online.
Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. we learned today, Ed Norris?
I just had, you know, I'm a little out of it today because I'm sneezing my brains out here.
A lot.
A lot. But I did remember that trip to New York, and I was mistaken earlier. Not only did he did refuse to go to first base. I told him I would have just, give me the car keys. I'll come get you in the morning. No. But he did refuse a drink. There were those guys from Baltimore.
Yes.
I forgot about that. Guys from Baltimore that Rob turned his back on. He was staring at the television.
Well, we moved on from that.
Thanks, Gilman, guys.
And he was struck deaf as they're asking him questions.
I didn't hear him.
I know.
You didn't want to hear them.
Rob. Hey, Rob.
Did he have the bell?
I was heavily engaged in a television program.
The Golden Girls rerun.
He did turn down a drink. Rob, don't you want to talk to us?
No.
Did they even get the no, or did they just get a grunt? Or like he just turned the other way?
He didn't even answer. He was just...
You had to play that back, didn't you? I thought we had... Now he points at me. Yes, you.
I thought he was going to the Fugat thing from the first segment.
I did too, actually. I forgot.
Ed's over here talking. I forgot.
Today's National Houseplant Appreciation Day. Either you have houseplants.
My wife does.
Goodness of a ton. Yes.
Really?
We don't. It's like the enchanted forest in my lanai.
What do you mean by we? Is that like your house or black people don't do that?
Oh, well, black people do that. My mom had a... Oh, my goodness. She had a forest in her house.
It was like a greenhouse.
Oh, my gosh. It was...
Those squirrels.
It was... I'm telling you, every time I see squirrels now, I literally laugh out loud. Today is also one of my favorites. National Oysters Rockefeller Day. Mm. I had my first Oyster Rockefeller in New Orleans when the Ravens last went to the Super Bowl. First time I ever had it.
Did you have it with any?
What was Jerry Coleman somewhere... Stop the music. He paid.
Stop the music.
Excuse me? He paid. There's also National Cut Your Energy Costs Day. I don't know how to do that.
You know, you could really get somebody with that where it's like two lies and a truth. He's like, I went to New Orleans. I got Oysters Rockefeller and Jerry Coleman. Now I know which one you lied about.
There's also National Bittersweet Chocolate Day. I don't like bittersweet chocolate. So birthdays. Former coach, legendary coach, Lou Henson would have celebrated a birthday today. Former legendary baseball player Willie McCovey also would have celebrated the birthday today. And George Foreman turned 76 today.
Damn.
He'll be boxing next month.
I'm saying he'll kick your ass.
The guy with the grill, he was a boxer?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Former NBA player Glenn Big Dog Robinson and former NFL quarterback Jake DeLone both celebrated a birthday today. Who's older, Ed Norris?
Jake the good one.
That's good.
Jake DeLone? Yeah. All right. Joe?
DeLone?
You know what? I'll go with the big dog.
Jake DeLone today turns 50. Happy birthday. But you're not as old as Glenn Robinson, who today turns 52.
Wow. Okay.
That was a good one.
Here you go. This is a couple of good ones here. What's the only place where it's socially acceptable to pick your nose? At the plastic surgeon's office. Hey-o! Ed, you might be able to confirm this. We heard from the police that a man who tragically fell 50 feet from the roof of a nightclub, turns out he wasn't a bouncer. I don't know if you know this. You've been going to a lot of Italian classes. Mario told Luigi, you shouldn't hit someone with a sodium chloride. That's a sword. The doctor told me you have cancer, but we can treat it. I said, what's the cure? He said, the cure is a British rock band fronted by Robert Smith, but let's try to stay focused here. I bought 10 asparagus at the store. When I got home, I realized I had 11. It was just asparagus. It was just asparagus.
I gotta slow it down. We got it.
And you'll love this one. I got a vasectomy. But my girlfriend still got pregnant. I don't know if you guys know this. Apparently, all a vasectomy does is change the color of the baby. Hello! Surprise!
He's black.
Born in Chicago? I don't know about you, but that baby's black.
Jesus. I'm that baby pappy. Go Ravens. Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful weekend.